Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. So great to have you along on a very, very big news day. We're going to get into the Texas immigration law that has now been put on pause that would allow Texas DPS officers to deport and have them self-deport themselves, arresting them, defending their borders. It's why I'm wearing my Defend Texas shirt. Come and cut it. So this is a very important story to talk about. But right now, going on, in the Oversight Committee, is this hearing into Hunter Biden. It's become fascinating to me. We can dip into it live a little bit today, and I'm going to play you some highlights already from this morning that prove to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, Joe Biden was involved in his son's business dealings from direct witness testimony who were there when Joe Biden was on the conference calls, in the meetings, next to the text messages, reading the text messages that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were peddling the influence of the Biden family, and Joe Biden is 100% the big guy. Of course, the program is brought to you by Midas Gold Group. We're so grateful for them. With all the chaos in the world, start thinking about putting some money into precious metals. MidasGoldGroup.com. I know these guys real well, and I trust them. All right, with that, folks, let's get the party started.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks, thank you so much for joining me. The website is GrantStinchfield.com, GrantStinchfield.com. Sign up for the email list there. I want to get right into it. Live right now is this hearing going on in the House of Representatives, the Oversight Committee. Let's dip in, however you want to say it, to the live proceedings of the investigation of influence peddling on behalf of the Biden family. This is all part of the impeachment investigation. This is live now in the Oversight Committee.
Over and over and over again, and then run to our favorite TV outlet to give interviews afterwards. We were sent here to get a job done. Taxpayers are looking at all of us. Meanwhile, Americans, black, white, Asian, Latin.
All right, so we got a Democrat there. I'm not going to bother listening to him. I'm going to keep an eye on that, but let me get you some of the highlights of what went down today. And I think maybe one of the most important highlights was this witness. His name is Jason Galanis. He is a Hunter Biden associate, a Joe Biden associate for that matter, spelling out what he witnessed firsthand of the Biden family corruption. Very important. Let's listen.
I recall being with Hunter Biden and Devin Archer at the Peninsula Bar in New York, where Hunter took a call from his father and told him things were going well with Henry's Allen Harvest and that he might need a little help getting across the finish line.
Bingo. Hunter takes a call. He's there. He listens to the phone conversation between Joe Biden and talking about a business deal, needing Joe to get the ball across the finish line. What does that tell you? Joe is involved. Joe can get the ball across the finish line because he's vice president, soon to be president of the United States, and he's got a lot of influence in Washington. They're selling that influence.
It was not the only time I heard Hunter speak with his father for business reasons. I was present when Hunter called his father on May 4th, 2014, on a cell phone, put it on speaker mode to have him say hello to Yelena Batarina, a Russian oligarch and an investor in Rosemont Projects, and her husband, Yuri Luskov, the former mayor of Moscow. Devin Archer was also there. Hunter said, well, I'm here with our friends. I told you we're coming to town, and we wanted to say hello. The vice president said hello, some pleasantries, and I hope you had safe travels. And then said, quote, okay, you'd be good to my boy. Hunter responded by saying, everything is good, and we are moving ahead. The vice president said something about, quote, being helpful, and Hunter ended the call by saying he was going to call his father later. Before this call, Hunter sat next to Yelena Batarina at a table, and I heard him speaking on business matters generally. A few days after this May 4th party, an email my lawyer provided to this committee shows that Devin had confirmed Ms. Batarina was committed to a, quote, hard order of $10 to $20 million in a burden investment banking client.
$10 to $20 million? This is that Russian oligarch, the wife of the Moscow mayor, now making payments to the Biden family. This guy witnessed it firsthand. He's witnessing the phone conversations. He's witnessing all of this go down with Joe Biden at the helm. There's other testimony that came out that said they were issuing invoices to companies and no work was performed. Why would you issue an invoice when no work is performed? Unless, of course, the work is simply to act on behalf of whatever entity, whether it's an energy firm, whether it's a Russian oligarch, whether it's a Ukrainian oligarch, whoever it might be, act on their behalf and make sure that they aren't hurt inside the United States government. That nothing we do from a policy perspective will hurt their businesses. That's why they were paying Joe Biden. That is the influence peddling scheme. I promise you, that's what was going down here. Now, Tony Bobulinski also leveled his own set of accusations. Congressman Smith is the one who asked him some very direct questions, and he got some very direct answers. Listen.
Mr. Bobulinski, do you have any personal experience that leads you to believe that Joe Biden was involved with Hunter Biden's business associates and business dealings?
Yes, I do.
You want to say a few?
To outline how Joe was involved?
Yeah.
Yes, different congressmen and women keep trying to say that there's no evidence and use the word involved, which is a very opaque language. If Joe Biden was not involved in his son's business dealings, why, after flying all the way across the country to the Milken Conference, where there is next to Davos, is probably the biggest conference in the world, why would he take 45 minutes out of his night? It wasn't a 10 a.m. meeting. It was 10:40 in the evening. He's an elderly man, flew all the way across country to sit with me for 45 minutes to an hour to discuss my background, the business we are doing with the Chinese, his family's background.
Speaking of the business with the Chinese, in October 2020, Joe Biden asserted that his family had not earned money through business dealings in China. However, IRS whistleblowers shared evidence that the Biden family made at least $1.1 million from their business with China, including $100,000 in payment from CFC, China Energy, and a $1 million payment in exchange for legal services that were never provided to a CFC official, Patrick Ho. Mr. Bobulinski, do you know whether the Biden family made any money from China?
They did. Millions of dollars. I think approximately $8 to $9 million.
The Biden family has made millions of dollars from China, correct?
Correct.
And you said at least $9 million?
Yeah, I think it's actually over $10 million, but I'll leave those details up to you guys.
Over $10 million? Joe Biden yesterday at a speech said that he wore it as a badge of honor that for 36 years he was one of the poorest members of the United States Congress, Senate included. Poorest members? Well, what in the world happened? He talks about in the 1990s when a newspaper in Delaware said that Joe Biden was the poorest member in the United States Senate. In fact, the entire Congress. Well, that sure changed. He lives in million-dollar homes, multiple million-dollar homes, drives fancy cars, you name it, takes fancy vacations. Joe Biden's not the poorest member of Congress at all, yet apparently he was never involved in business. So where did the wealth come from? That's the simple question that Joe Biden needs to answer. Where did the wealth come from? If you've been nothing but the United States senator, how are you getting to become a multi-gazillionaire? Please explain it. And why does your son Hunter, with no real experience whatsoever, who now sure looks like he was a drug addict and a sex fiend, how is he making millions of dollars? What knowledge does he have to be working with energy companies? Zero. Unless, of course, they're peddling the influence. Now, let me just remind you what Tony Bobulinski said before about Hunter Biden being the big guy.
Pull out the different ownership, but this shows 20% for H. H is Hunter Biden. 20% for RW is Rob Walker. 20% for JG is James Gillier. 20% for TB, that's me, Tony Bobulinski. And then it says 10 for Jim, and that's Jim Biden. And then it says 10 held for H for the big guy. The H in that message is Hunter Biden, and the big guy, 100%, is Joe Biden.
Why do you say that 100%?
It's crystal clear. There was nobody else who they would be listing as the big guy.
It's crystal clear, he says. Well, clearly it is. And this is what he confirmed today. Now, let's dip back into this testimony that is going on inside the House Oversight Committee. Congresswoman McClain questioning Tony Bobulinski.
See, theory?
That's not a conspiracy theory.
Okay, thank you.
I would encourage you to interview Gabriel Popovich.
Thank you. Lastly, after claiming he wanted a public hearing, Hunter Biden decided to skip today. Why do you think he skipped the hearing today?
Is that a rhetorical or serious? Well, I don't think he wanted to sit next to me because obviously I've emphatically stated he perjured himself in his transcribed interview with the committee, as did his uncle, Jim Biden. And for every fact he claims or wants to say I was high on drugs or obfuscate, I can show a document, a text message, a recording that is cross, you know, confirmed that he's lying.
Well, let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story, right? Here are the facts.
Highly disappointing that he's not here, though.
I would agree. I would agree. Here are the facts. Hunter Biden was engaged by a foreign principal, Gabriel Popovich. It is well known that Hunter Biden met with the ambassador to Romania, Hans Klemm, in November of 2015. Hunter Biden was not registered under FARA. He stopped getting paid as soon as his father leaves office until you got Popovich to send Hunter Biden one more payment. Seriously, what services was Hunter Biden providing to the Romanian oligarchs for millions of dollars? We've yet to hear it. As far as the committee knows, Hunter Biden was never registered under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. If the Department of Justice applied the same standards it did in the Paul Manafort case, Hunter would be in more trouble than he is already in. Mr. Chairman, there are real FARA issues here that we need to continue to look at. And with that, I thank you for being here, and I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely.
Well, she's right about the Foreign Agent Registration Act. Because that is what Hunter Biden was acting on. And she does make a great comparison to Paul Manafort, the Trump confidant who got hung out to dry on that. So I would argue what's happening right now with Hunter Biden, the DOJ, they're slow walking his case. I'm just waiting for Joe Biden to come out with a pardon to Hunter Biden for everything. But really, Hunter Biden's the little fish. Joe Biden is the big. This hearing is about connecting the dots here. And that's what needs to happen, is a connection of the dots. As I continue this, folks, and there's more testimony from inside the House, I've got some proof, and I want to go through the text messages, the documents, the checks, all written there. We'll go through all of it for you. But I want to tell you about my friends over at Midas Gold Group. MidasGoldGroup.com is where I want you to go when it comes to buying precious metals. These guys are great guys. I trust them. I know them. They represent what they say, and that is they are out for your best interest. How much money you should be investing in gold, that's up to you. Talk to the guys at Midas Gold Group. They can really help lead you on a plan to start the process of what I call hoarding gold. You start buying as much of it as you can, and you put it in your gun safe, bury it in your backyard, hide it in your grandmother's attic, but you start collecting this as a portfolio protection maneuver. There is a war on cash going on. Even our own federal government wants a digital currency. That will depress the United States dollar, by the way. Is that by design? Maybe. You have foreign governments across the world buying up gold in record numbers. Why? Because they know cash, American dollars, is not going to be the world's currency as long as Joe Biden is in office and as long as we have these globalists waging war on the American dollar. This is why you hedge your bet and you start to put some money into gold. Midas Gold Group can help you do it. 855-322-GOLD. MidasGoldGroup.com. MidasGoldGroup.com. 855-322-GOLD. I urge you to do that now. Do we dare dip into Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? She's such a propagandist.
It's not here. Now, when we compare the chairman's opening from his previous opening, he's talking about Ukraine and Burisma and all of this. It is, this entire inquiry is based on a blockbuster piece of information that was in a classified SCIF room. And inside that room was a document alleging President Biden directly of a $10 million bribery scheme. A $10 million bribery scheme. Extremely serious. What happened? What happened a month ago, Mr. Chairman? That document, the FBI arrested the person who offered those allegations for falsifying his testimony to the FBI. This entire impeachment inquiry is based on an actual provable individual who has lied.
That's not what the impeachment inquiry is about, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And why should we trust the FBI? The FBI has a history now of defending and sticking up for and covering for the Democrat Party, specifically the Bidens, Obamas, and the Clintons. Why would we trust the FBI? What she spells out there is just another example of FBI interference. Now, whether or not that $10 million bribe is true or not and the witness is bogus or not, it doesn't matter. There is so much evidence to show the bribery, kickback, influence peddling scheme on behalf of the Bidens. It is far and wide. We know that Joe Biden was on speakerphone. We know that Joe Biden met with these people. We know that the money had flowed into Jim Biden's, Hunter Biden's, a slew of bank accounts. And yet Joe Biden wanted to make this claim back in the day. I'm going to play this, and it'll go through some of the evidence against the Bidens.
Or my brother or anyone else, anything having to do with their businesses.
President Biden met with at least 14 of Hunter's business associates while he was vice president.
Then Vice President Joe Biden had dinner with his son Hunter, along with Hunter's business associates from Ukraine, Russia, and Kazakhstan. And the day after the dinner, a Burisma executive sent a note to Hunter, quoting, "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together."
Hunter's lucrative business dealings often included giving as much as 50% of his earnings to his dad.
The text read, quote, "I hope you all can do what I did and pay for everything for this entire family for 30 years. It's really hard, but don't worry. Unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half your salary."
His son, Hunter, joining the then vice president on the official visit to Beijing. Unknown to the press back then, Hunter Biden was forming a Chinese private equity fund, planning to raise money, including from Chinese investors. 10 days after the Biden's trip, Shanghai authorities issued the fund's business license.
And Hunter introduced me as, this is Tony, Dad, the individual I told you about that's helping us with the business that we're working on and the Chinese.
The email reads this way, quote, "At the moment, there's a provisional agreement that the equity will be distributed as follows. 10 held by Hunter for the big guy."
I 1,000% sit here and know that the big guy is referencing Joe Biden.
So how's that for evidence? Spells it all out. Well, Nancy Mace is now addressing the witnesses inside this oversight committee.
Jason Galanis, and every single one of them interacted with Joe Biden. And that's just the people we interviewed. Mr. Galanis, my first questions are for you. Did Hunter Biden call Joe Biden with Elaine Butterina on the line on May 4th, 2014, yes or no?
Yes.
In that call, did Hunter Biden state on this call with Joe Biden that everything is good and we're moving forward?
Yes, he did.
Okay, on the same call, did Joe Biden in the call was saying, okay, then you be good to my boy?
Yes, he said that as well.
Okay, did Botterina agree to put $20 million into one of Hunter Biden's business projects days later after this phone call?
Yes.
Okay, did Hunter Biden ever take a call from Joe Biden while at the Peninsula Bar in New York?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Did Hunter Biden ever take a call from Joe Biden while at the Peninsula Bar in New York?
Yes, he did.
During this call, did Hunter Biden update Joe Biden on progress in landing a business partnership with Harvest Fund Management?
Yes.
Okay. Was Harvest, a $300 billion Chinese financial services company, closely tied to the Chinese Communist Party?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Is Hunter Biden involved with Harvest?
Hunter Biden is involved with Harvest in two ways, through BHR, which is the fund.
Yes or no?
That,
was Hunter Biden involved with Harvest? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. As part of the
extensive
deal,
emails to that effect.
As part of the deal, did Hunter Biden want the company to reserve a board seat for Joe Biden?
Yes.
Okay. Did Henry Zhao, a Chinese businessman, want assurances Joe Biden would join the board? Yes or no?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Did Hunter Biden
express that in emails as well?
Okay. Thank you.
And Hunter Biden.
Did Hunter Biden draft an email stating, please also remind Henry Zell of our conversation about a board seat for a certain relation of mine. Devin and I golfed with that relation earlier this week, and we discussed this very idea again. And as always, he remains very, very keen on the opportunity. Here is a photo of Joe Biden and Devin Archer and Hunter Biden golfing days before the alleged email draft. Do you believe a certain relation of mine refers to Joe Biden?
I don't think there's any question. It was based on firsthand conversations with Devin Archer, who was in that picture and at that golf meeting.
Did you ever meet with Devin Archer where Hunter took calls from his father?
Yes.
Okay. During one of these phone calls, did Hunter Biden tell Joe Biden that he and Henry Zell needed help getting, quote, getting across the finish line?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Mr. Bobulinski, do you recall receiving an email that floated the possibility of giving 10% ownership of Senohawk to Joe Biden through Hunter Biden?
Yes.
Okay. My last questions are for both of you very quickly. Mr. Bobulinski and Mr. Galanis, you both stated you were told not to use Joe Biden's name in communications, correct, Mr. Bobulinski?
Correct.
Mr. Galanis?
Yes.
Okay. Did Joe Biden participate in phone conversations and meetings with Hunter Biden, his business associates, and foreign interests, yes or no? Mr. Bobulinski?
He clearly did. He
okay, met Mr. Galanis, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. In Hunter Biden's deposition, he said he did not involve his father in his business. Did Hunter Biden lie under oath, yes or no? Mr. Bobulinski?
Yes.
Mr. Galanis?
If that's what he said, yes, that would be untrue.
Is Joe Biden lying when he says he did not interact with Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, their business partners, or forward interests? Yes or no?
Yes.
Mr. Galanis?
Yes.
All right. In a debate on October 22nd, 2020, Joe Biden denied Hunter Biden made money from China. Then Hunter Biden, his business associates, and foreign interests include money from Chinese businesses, business partners, and or interests. Yes or no? Mr. Bobulinski?
I'm sorry. Did
Hunter
Biden family
receive
money
from Chinese
Correct.
Business interests? Yes. Mr. Galanis? Did Hunter Biden receive money from Chinese business interests? Yes or no?
Yes, he had economic interests and yes.
All right. Joe Biden has repeatedly claimed that he was not involved in Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, or any other Biden family business deals. Today, our witnesses have proved otherwise. Today, we've established Joe Biden lied about interacting with Hunter Biden's business associates. It is my belief Joe Biden is the closer for Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, and their business associates and foreign interests. Good luck to the left proving otherwise. Thank you, and I yield back.
Joe Biden is the closer. He's the guy to, quote, push the ball over the end zone line. Push it over the finish line. Joe Biden's making the deals happen. He's the heavy, man. This is the guy. This is the influence peddler. And he uses Hunter Biden and his associates as their bagmen. And they went around the world and they filled the bags up and they brought the cash back for Joe Biden. It is clear to me. The influence peddling is out of control. This hearing goes a long way to prove, again, just how ingrained Joe Biden was in Hunter Biden's business dealings. And that this influence peddling scheme, this corruption scheme, was very, very real. All right, folks, I'm going to talk about immigration, this Texas immigration plan. Before I do that, I want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. I love my Patriot Mobile phone. One of the reasons why I'm so proud to be a member of Patriot Mobile or a customer of Patriot Mobile is because the people who founded it believe in America. They believe in the values that we believe in, and they are taking great shots across their bow, direct hits on their ship for what? Pushing conservative values, for putting In God We Trust signs in schools. If you want to support a company like this, switch to Patriot Mobile. You get to keep the network you're on. That's fine. You're not going to lose service that way, but you'll get 100% U.S.-based customer service. They'll sign you up. They'll get you a new phone. You can use your old phone, whatever you want. Same thing with all the other cell phone companies, except this cell phone company is different. Because it is pushing the values that we believe in, putting money towards those values, policies, and programs that we believe in. Some of your money, you will know, when you pay your cell phone bill, is going to help move America in the right direction. Why would you be with any other cell phone company? I'm telling you, if you're watching this right now, make the switch to Patriot Mobile. Here's how you do it. PatriotMobile.com/grant. PatriotMobile.com/grant. Or just call them at 972-PATRIOT. Use the promo code GRANT for free activation. Great deal there. 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT. When you call them, you tell them that Grant Stinchfield sent you. All right, we'll keep an eye on the Hunter Biden hearing going on, but I do want to talk about this law in Texas, which is just so outrageous, the politics being played. This is Texas Senate Bill 4, and it explains how Texas Senate Bill 4 works. This is the law that basically says there's an investigation into an illegal entry. You arrest an illegal alien. If there's no probable cause for arrest, you let the person go. If there is probable cause, like they're not a citizen of the United States, they enter Texas from a foreign nation or location other than a port of entry, you arrest them, you take them to a judge for a probable cause determination. If it's found that they're an illegal alien, you return that alien to their foreign nation. If they don't want to be removed to their foreign nation, you prosecute them under a new law called failure to comply with an order to return, meaning you're given the option. You can return and court proceedings are over. If you don't want to do that, failure to comply with that then gets done. This is the result of Texas needing to take matters into its own hands under an invasion clause. This is not about, folks, superseding supremacy clause. This is about Texas saying they need to comply with what the Constitution says. And once they declare an invasion, they're well within their rights to do this. This is about partnering with the federal government. The government doesn't want to partner with Texas. I promise you, under the Trump administration, they would have partnered and did partner with the federal government and Texas DPS to make sure that we were safe. Okay? This is an interview we did this morning with Mark Morgan, the former head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, about this law, what it means. My co-host Jen Horn was with me. She helped run the interview as well, so you'll see her on here. But Mark Morgan's a good friend of mine. He knows what's happening, and I want to let him explain what's going on here, and it's an important interview. Take a look.
So I think that's exactly right, and that's well stated. I mean, we really need to look at why was there a need for SB4, right? There shouldn't have been a need for SB4, but there is, because this administration has totally abandoned their constitutional mandate and responsibility to protect the states from threats outside its borders. And so Governor Abbott stepped up. He declared invasion. And to me, people need to understand, this is not about a violation of the Supremacy Clause. What Governor Abbott is doing through SB4 is not enforcing federal immigration law. He's availing himself of a constitutional remedy that's under Article 10, Section 1, right? That states very clearly that, again, if the federal government abdicates the responsibility to protect the borders, the states have the ability to step in and defend themselves. So he's not enforcing the immigration law. He's actually availing themselves of the self-help remedy in the Constitution. And what we've seen play out last 24 hours, it really shows a couple of things. One, it shows that our system is not perfect, and two, that it absolutely is politicized. Because think about this. So the district court said, hey, SB4 is unconstitutional, and they said, you can't do it. Well, then the Fifth Circuit says, well, you know what, we're going to lift that stay so they can go ahead. Then the federal government sues, goes to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says, no, they can go ahead and enforce the law. And then, as you said, just in the last 24 hours, the Fifth Circuit actually reverses the original decision and reinstates the stay. But keep in mind, this is only on the stay. We still have not heard it on the merits. And my prediction is, right here this morning, is this is going to end back up at the Supreme Court on the merits of SB4, not the stay.
Not just the delay. Yeah.
You know, right. Look, I'd like to ask you a question. So you were so obviously as Commissioner of Border Protection with President Trump and intimately involved in border security. If Governor Abbott would have come to the Trump administration and said, you know what, I know you guys are doing the best you can. Things have gotten better, but we still feel like we need some power to do this. Would the Trump administration have said, you know what, we welcome the partnership here. We need all the help we can get, or would it have been a fight?
To answer your question is absolute, unequivocally yes. And Grant, I'll go a step further. That's what was happening. So I know the director of DPS, Steve McGraw. He's a great guy. In fact, we are colleagues in the FBI. I had conversations with him as the commissioner on a regular basis. I mean, Texas DPS was right there every step of the way during the entire time during the Trump administration. So the governor really didn't need to have that conversation because that cooperation assistance was already happening.
Did the Biden administration cancel that cooperation with Texas DPS?
Absolutely. They have actually tried to suggest every time that Governor Abbott steps up to do as you said, as let's just set aside regardless of why this administration is failing, but Governor Abbott has stepped up to fill that void. And every single time he tries to fill the void to protect his state's borders, this administration is actively trying to prevent him from doing it. And he's putting the men and women on the front line in a very precarious position, right? A juxtaposed position. But luckily, as always, the men and women on the front lines, they're working it out, and we haven't seen any significant issues, but there have been.
You know, it's really funny because he doesn't just ignore it. He actively works to make things worse for us in the United States. And you watch the polling numbers, and just to get political for a second, you watch the polling numbers and you see that nationally President Trump is up with Latino voters. You see him in states like Arizona only trailing by 6 points with Latino voters. So Biden's on this little walk now, and he's saying, well, we're gonna find a new group, Latinos con Biden, or whatever he's going to come up with. Why not just fix the problem? Because clearly he's losing support in this realm, and he hasn't even commented yet on what's going on in Haiti, Mark, which is becoming a huge problem for Governor DeSantis now, who might have to take similar action to Texas.
Exactly. Look, our system is already broken and overwhelmed. We see what's happening in Haiti. And here's the issue. We keep going back. We've talked about this before. And just like when I saw the hearings about the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, what came to my mind is how, once again, we put America last and we allowed Afghans to come into the country. Now keep in mind, now don't get me wrong, there are some Afghans that stood beside U.S. and allied forces, and we actually have an obligation to help them. But that's not what we did. We let in tens of thousands of Afghans that we have no idea who they were, what their intentions, where their allegiance was. They didn't help us while we were there during the 20-year war, but yet we let them in. The same thing is happening with Haiti. Just recently, last week, we had a Haitian national that was allowed in under the unlawful CBP-1 app that, once he was here in the country, he raped a 15-year-old disabled woman. We could go on and on with the threats, and I just don't understand. It's hard for me to accept why they're allowing the chaos and laws to happen that's jeopardizing every aspect of our nation's safety and national security. It's because they see a perceived political benefit. Keep in mind, every single illegal alien is counted as part of the census. That's a real redistricting in favor of the Democrats, which then impacts the electoral process as well. And then keep in mind, every single illegal alien they find a pathway to citizenship, they believe is going to equate to a Democratic vote. That's why this is happening.
Let's not forget President Trump tried to put in place in our census the question, are you a U.S. citizen or not? How that is not on the census, I have no idea, because you think that would be the first question. Lastly, Mark Morgan, former Commissioner of Border Protection, in about just 15 to 20 seconds, I used to say the majority of illegal aliens were well-intentioned. They were coming here for a better life, and you had this set of the MS-13. And I actually think things have flipped. I think the majority of who we're getting now are very, very bad people, and those well-intentioned are the minority. What do you think?
I'll give you a couple stats real quick. So your frustration is justified. The past 3 years, ICE has arrested 163,000 criminal illegal aliens, thousands of murderers, gang members convicted for assault. In the past 38 months, Border Patrol has arrested 47,000 criminal illegal aliens. That's a 99% jump from the years 2017 to 2020 combined. When you add those that are coming to our ports of entry, it jumps to 132,000. Grant, every single day we are letting hardcore violent offenders into this country.
That's not a good thing. That, of course, is Mark Morgan, the former commissioner of U.S. Border Protection. And God bless him. He's a great patriot. I'll tell you what, he is a guy that really lives and breathes it. And it upsets him what's going on, just as it upsets all of us. I know it upsets all of you. We're going to cover a lot of this stuff on the Real America's Voice show tonight. The committee hearing on the oversight and accountability into Joe Biden stuff has gone into recess. So nothing left to dip in there. But I'll have all the coverage tonight on the Real America's Voice show. I urge you to tune in to that. And my buddy Scott Lobato, you know, the relentless patriot, the artist, he got arrested today outside of Gracie Mansion, throwing pizzas again, seeing that pizza law went into effect in New York City. They're literally going to ban coal-fired and wood-fired pizza ovens in New York City, of all places. It's the kind of thing that's just totally an outrage. So we will talk to him, hopefully, if he gets out of jail today, about that experience tonight on the Real America's Voice show. And folks, don't forget, GrantStinchfield.com, GrantStinchfield.com. Stinchfield1776 is the social media platform just about everywhere. Give me a follow there if you can. And I'm grateful to all of you. I really am. Stinchfield's Army Rolls, thanks to all of you. We'll see you back here again real soon.